Hello, everyone. Welcome to this support technical exchange session. The topic for today is customizing WebSphere Commerce Search. Today's presenters are Brendan Bela and Matt Thomas. Brendan has been with WebSphere Commerce Level 2 support at the Toronto Lab since 2009. He became the subject matter expert for WebSphere Commerce Search when it was released in 2011. Matt is a software engineer at the IBM RTP North Carolina Lab. He has been a member of the WebSphere Commerce support team since 2012. At this time, I would like to turn the session over to Brendan.
Thanks, Valerie. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Let's go to slide 2. Okay. Today we're going to be covering customizing commerce search. We get quite a number of PMRs for customizing search, and the reason for it being every customer seems to have, you know, their own unique take on the catalog or how they want to display data, searches, and stuff like that on the storefront. So a lot of times customers will have, you know, like a slight kind of customization that they need for altering data in the catalog or altering the way it's searched. The good news is the way that we set up search and the search framework is we've exposed a lot of the stuff in different configuration files. So it's made it really easy to go in and make configuration change in certain areas. So for this presentation, we're going to be looking at, the three main areas I would consider where you can go in and make these customization changes for search. So we're going to be looking at the storefront. This is probably the easiest place to make a change to search, and it involves just changing, you know, the search that you're going to submit to Commerce to then be submitted to Solr, and it just involves changing some JSPs and a mapping file. After that, we're going to be looking at pre-process and build index. These customizations are more for changing the data that's actually going to be stored in the index. And lastly, we're going to be looking at search profiles. Search profiles are responsible, they're in the Commerce server, and they're responsible for constructing the final Solr query that is sent off to Solr, and also for taking the data once it's returned from Solr and you know, maybe doing some additional processing on it. So that's all we're going to be looking at today. Slide 3. Okay, so first of all, we're starting on the storefront. What we're going to do for this one, it's simple enough that we can just cover this in, we can just dive right into an example. So let's go to slide 4. Okay, so the example we're going to look at for customizing from the storefront is a pretty popular one among our customers, and it's injecting a dismax query from the storefront. Customers who have used Solr Search before, they are pretty fond of dismax query. They like it better than our out-of-the-box search handler. I have an example here for one reason why, you know, customers prefer using dismax query. If you're using our standard search handler, our out-of-the-box one, and you do a search, say you're doing AND search, where every single search term you enter in the search bar has to match in order for a match to be returned. So if you're using AND search and you do a search for a brand and an item together, for example, Acme shoes, with AND search, it's probably going to return zero results. And it's because our out-of-the-box search handler doesn't use cross-field searching, and dismax does. So dismax is smart enough to recognize that, shoes is going to be in the name field or in the short description field, and Acme, the brand, it's going to be in the MS name field, the brand field, and it's going to produce a match. There's also some additional parameters that our customers like for dismax. A couple of them, there's phrase field, which is like boosting for phrases. So if multiple terms are close enough together in a field, it's going to add a boost factor to that document, and the document's going to be more relevant and appear closer in the search terms. And there's also a phrase swap, where that is, if you are, again, searching for multiple terms, the terms have to be close enough together in a field in order for it to be considered a match. That's Dismax. Now we're just going to look at how a search is done on the storefront. If we go to slide 5. Okay. When you initiate a search from the storefront, it's generally, for the most part, done using a file called search-setup.jspf. This is the same for in our sample stores of Madison and Aurora. It's located in a bit of a different place in Aurora, but for the most part, search-setup.jspf is going to be the thing that initiates search. So if you're doing like a category click, like you click on a category on the page or you search in the search bar, those are going to route to different JSPs, but in the end, those JSPs are all going to call search-setup.jspf. And the way that the search-setup.jspf does the search is through something called a getData tag, which I have an example of at the bottom. So for those of you not familiar with getData tags, they're basically like beans, or they're pretty similar to beans. They're using DSL to retrieve data. It's not like bean logic. So it's kind of what we've switched over from beans to retrieve data. So these getData tags, most of them that we have, it's going to be retrieving data from the database, but we also use it to retrieve data from Solr. Every single getData tag, regardless of whether or not it's a search getData tag, is going to have always two parameters, at least two parameters. It's going to have the type, which is going to tell it, what kind of structure the returning data is going to have, and it's going to also have an expression builder. The expression builder is what maps kind of to the web service call that's going to happen. For search, the type is catalog navigation view type, and the expression builder is get catalog navigation view. We also have some additional expression builders for search, but this is going to be the main one that's used for most searches. Aside from those two parameters, you can pretty much pass any parameter you want into the getData tag, and that's what we're going to be doing for this customization. So once you pass a parameter into the getData tag, it's just a matter of then mapping it to a web service, and we do that in the getdataconfig.xml. Slide 6. Okay, so here we are injecting the Dismax query into the getData tag. So you can see the screenshot at the bottom, the blue box I have here. That's what we're adding to this getData tag, and it's actually the Dismax query. So you can see here, I've created a new parameter called custom expr, and I've assigned it the value underscore query underscore colon and so forth. The squiggle bracket exclamation mark Dismax, that's a function that you're passing into Solr. You're telling Solr to use a Dismax function. So that's how we tell Solr, search using Dismax, even though it's still using our out-of-the-box search handler. It's using Dismax inside of that. And then you can see we pass in a bunch of parameters with this Dismax query. It's kind of cut off, but we can see some of them. For example, the queries that I mentioned earlier, PS, the phrase flops there, PF is there. And then there's this other one called QF. QF is it's like the main query parameter that you pass. So you're telling Dismax which fields to search. If you are doing this customization, you'll also probably need to wrap an if statement around this parameter. And what this if statement is doing is it's checking to make sure that the search isn't empty. So how I said that this getData tag is going to be used for if you're searching in a search bar or if you're searching by clicking on a category. If you're clicking on a category, you're not actually going to have a search term. You're just going to have a category ID passed in. When that happens, you don't want to use this this Dismax function. So this if statement is just checking to make sure that it's actually a term search that's going on and not a category search. Slide 7. Okay, so now that we have added the new parameter into the getData tag, it's the only other thing we need to do is map it in the getdataconfig.xml. Like I said, getdataconfig.xml is what maps getData tags to web service queries that are going to be called. So I have the steps here of updating this the expression builder in getdataconfig.xml. So the first thing you need to do is you need to locate the correct expression builder to update. A couple of slides back, I mentioned every getDataTag is going to have an expression builder. The expression builder we're modifying that we're using in the getDataTag is getCatalogNavigationView. So you have to find a getCatalogNavigationView expression builder, and then you have to add in this custom EXPR and map it to this wcf.search.expr. I'll explain that a bit more, I think, next slide. And then the last thing you need to do is just add a default value for custom expression. And again, this is if search term is blank, if there's nothing there. So if custom expression is blank, we want to just make sure that we add in a default value. And here you can see it's actually just a blank. Slide 8, please. Okay, so this is a screenshot showing the steps that we've added into the expression builder. So this screen is at least part of an expression builder. I had to cut some of it out for it to fit. But you can see the expression template, the first orange box, is where we add this wcf.search.expr custom expression. And then the second orange box is the default value that we're adding for custom expression. In this case, it's just blank. So wcf.search.expr, what this parameter is it's a way for you to add directly into the queue parameter for the final Solr query. And what you're adding is whatever you add into this parameter, you need to make sure that it's in native Solr language. We don't do any processing on it down the line or anything like that. So whatever you put in here, it's got to be Solr friendly, and it's going to put it into the queue parameter. There's also another parameter that you could inject directly into, and that's wcf.search.internal.filterQuery, and that's going to add your parameter into the FQ parameter. So those are generally the two parameters that customers want to inject different data into. Q is like query, it's the actual search, and then FQ is filter query. So that's about it for injecting into the storefront. It's very straightforward, and if your customization is simple enough, this is probably the best way to go, because it's very easy to just change a getDataTag and then update the getDataConfig.xml. Slide 9. One last thing before I pass it to Matt. All the examples that we use here, I mentioned the getDataConfig.xml. I mentioned searchSetup.jspf. I didn't include any paths or anything like that. The reason being, at the end of the presentation, I'll have a link for something called the Search Cookbook that we're creating. It's a DevWorks blog where basically we're taking all these popular customer customizations and we're putting them into this blog for customers to reference and set up. So this example, the example I had before, and all the other examples, they're going to be in the Search Cookbook. And if you're interested in implementing these, I recommend going over to the Search Cookbook and following the steps there. Okay, so now Matt is going to be looking at or going over customizing preprocess and build index.
All right, yeah. So as Brendan said, I'm going to talk about customizing preprocess and build index. Let's go to slide 10. So a little bit about the preprocess. Preprocess creates and populates temporary tables that will be used to build the Solr index cores when the build index task is ran. The temp tables use a naming format like ti underscore, table name, underscore, and a number, where the number is the index scope tag. Each Solr core has its own unique index scope tag. For the cat entry core, each temp table will use the cat entry ID from the ti underscore cat entry table as the primary key. Each temp table is built from an XML file, and each master catalog has its own set of XML files, which we refer to as preprocess config files. So let's go to slide 11. All right. Customizing the preprocess files is generally quick and easy. You can see an example of the SQL used to populate the TI underscore cat entry underscore zero table below. Since most of the tables are built from a single SQL query, you can easily modify the data that will be populated in the temp table, or create your own temp table using the cat entry ID as the primary key. I tend to think of this as customizing the data set before it's indexed. Let's go to slide 12. All right, so now we'll look at a common customization. By default, the cat entry index includes unpublished products. Most of our queries will filter out the unpublished products, but some won't. For example, autosuggest does not. In order to get autosuggest to return non-published items, to not return unpublished items, you can modify the WC data when you import preprocess fullbuild.xml to only index published items. To do this, you need to update the SQL used to populate the ti_cat_entry_0 table. Since we store the publish flag in the catent desk table, you'll need to query that table, specifically the catent desk publish column. So in the modified query you can see here, we add catent desk in the from clause, which is actually missing from the slide, so we'll fix that before we put these out on the cookbook. And then you need to add the catent desk.publish equal 1 to the end of the where clause. After you modify that SQL, the next time preprocess is ran, only published items will be added to the ti_cat_entry_0 table. And since the other temp tables in the cat entry core are built from the ti_cat_entry table, they'll follow suit. So you can see how one small change here can remove undesired items from the index. It's pretty straightforward. Let's go to slide 13. Now we're going to talk about another customization related to attribute values. There are two types of attributes, defining attributes and descriptive attributes. Defining attributes are used to define specific SKUs. Descriptive attributes are more general and tend to apply to all SKUs for a given product. By default, SKU attribute values are rolled up to the parent products for faceting purposes during the pre-process. This allows us to get an accurate item count for facet display. The roll-up is handled by a union in the WC data import preprocess attribute.xml file. However, the product attribute values, like machine washable, are typically not rolled down to the individual SKUs, which can potentially lead to some issues. For example, since catalog filtering can now be done on attributes, you may try to filter out specific items based on a descriptive attribute. Since the product attribute values are not rolled down to the individual SKUs, the filter you created will not work on individual items. To get around this, you have two options. You can define the attribute values on each individual SKU via a CMC or data load, or two, you can use the preprocess to roll down the product attribute values to each SKU. Let's go to slide 14. So this slide outlines what I was talking about on the previous slide. We have two SKUs here and a product. All three of them have the color attribute, but only the SKUs have an attribute value populated. When preprocess is ran, we'll roll up the attribute values to the product so we can get an accurate count for faceting. Let's go to slide 15. So on this slide, we have the same product and SKUs, but in this case, we have a descriptive attribute that is set only on the product. By default, if preprocess is ran, the attribute value of true will not be applied to the SKUs. So if you're trying to filter out items based on machine washable equal to true, it won't filter out any of the child SKUs. Let's go to slide 16. All right. This slide shows how you can remedy the issue with the catalog filtering via the preprocess. By modifying the WC data import preprocess attribute.xml file, we can roll down attributes set at the product level to the child SKUs. To do this, you would add another union in the WC data import preprocess attribute.xml under the section where we are creating the ti_adder_0 table. It's important to note that this needs added in the ti_adder table section because the same XML file is also used to create the ti_catent_rel table. So you can see the union in blue is what we added to roll the attribute values down to the individual SKUs. Next slide. Back on slide 16. After you insert this union, the next time preprocess is ran, the product attribute values will be rolled down to the individual SKUs in the catalog entry index. One thing to point out here is that these steps won't change anything related to the items in CMC or the core database tables. It's only going to affect the relationship between the SKUs and the attributes in the temp tables and subsequently in the catalog entry index after the index is built. So this is only associating the attribute values from the product to the SKUs in the Solr index, just so you're aware. All right, let's go to slide 17. Now we're going to talk about build index customization. There are three main files related to the build index that are used for customization: the wcdataconfig.xml, schema.xml, and the solrconfig.xml. Every index has its own version of these files. The wcdataconfig.xml contains a giant SQL query that merges all the temporary tables created during preprocess into a giant result set, and it maps database columns to index fields. The schema.xml defines the fields and the field type definitions that will be used by the index. It also defines the type of processing done within the field. For example, in the text field type, there's a filter factory named solar.lowercase filter factory. This filter factory takes the text in the field and converts it all to lowercase. There's other filter factories that do other types of processing, but we're not really going to get into that here. The final file is the solarconfig.xml. This file defines search handlers, cache config settings, and any custom functions you may define. This is more of a runtime file. We're not going to talk about it today, but I just wanted to mention it because you can add some stuff in there. Let's go to slide 18. All right. So the customization that we're going to talk about is related to spell check, which you may know as autosuggest. By default, autosuggest the scope to the master catalog, and this can lead to auto suggestions when multiple sales catalogs are in place. We'll use a bookstore as an example. The bookstore may have multiple sections like fiction, nonfiction, etc., where each section has its own sales catalog. Since autosuggestion is scoped to the master catalog, a grad student looking for books on Harry Truman may get suggestions for Harry Potter, which can be frustrating. To avoid this, you can scope autosuggest to the current sales catalog ID. There is a step-by-step guide detailing how this can be achieved on the Commerce Search Cookbook, which Brendan mentioned earlier. And there's a URL on the slide to it. So, in order to implement this example, there's going to be solar side changes and commerce side changes that need to be made. We'll start with the solar side. Step one will be to define a new local spell check field in the schema.xml. Notice that we're defining the local spell check field with a name and an underscore asterisk. This is done so we can have multiple local spell check fields, which you will need and will become more evident in a few minutes. Let's go to slide 19. In step two, you'll create a new function in the wcdataconfig.xml. In orange, you can see that the function has a for loop that is looping through the catalogs. For each cat entry, we will see which catalogs it belongs to. We then put the name, short description, and keyword in the appropriate local spell check field, which we see in the blue box. We're creating a local spellcheck underscore catalog ID field for the master catalog and each sales catalog. This is why we created the field in step one with the underscore star, so it will dynamically generate multiple local spellcheck fields, one for each catalog. Right. Down in section B, what we're showing here is that you need to add the new function to the transformer section for each entry in the wcdataconfig.xml. This will force the new function to be triggered when the index is built. Let's go over to slide 20. The first two steps take care of the solar side of the house. Now on the commerce side, you need to update the autosuggest serialized JSP to use the new function. What you see here in orange is us setting the terms field to our newly defined local spell check field and us getting the catalog ID from the request. In the blue, we're passing the terms field plus the catalog ID into the get terms call. Basically, we're saying look only in the local spell check underscore catalog ID field for terms. Now autosuggest is only going to look for terms related to a specific catalog ID, meaning that when you start typing Harry, it will use Harry plus the catalog ID to find the suggestions and only look in the local spell check field designated for the passed in catalog ID. So this is actually a pretty powerful customization. We've used it to scope autosuggest to catalog ID, product set ID, and I'm sure you could use it for other things. When we did it for the product set ID, we followed the same steps, and we just used product set ID everywhere you see catalog ID in here. So you can play with it. It's pretty straightforward once you get in there. Let's go to slide 21. All right, back over to Brendan to talk about search profiles.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, search profiles. For this one, I wanted to give kind of a quick overview of at least the query section of search profiles. Search profiles are made up of a bunch of different parts. The main sections would be the query section and the results section. We don't really have time to go over the results section, but basically the query section is going to construct the final Solr query that you send off to Commerce, and then, or sorry, to Solr, and then the result section is going to take the result you get back from Solr, and it's going to do, you know, potentially some additional processing. It might grab some data from the database and add it to the result or something like that. So let's go to slide 21, or sorry, 22. Okay, so search profiles, they're all found in the wc-search.xml, which is like the main configuration file for search. And like I mentioned, the main part that's going to make the query to Solr is this query section here that I have in a couple of different boxes here. So let's look at the blue boxes first. First blue box at the top is the blue boxes are basically parameters that you can pass directly into your search profiles, and they're easy enough to change. So the first one I have here at the top, max rows, value equals one. So this is doing is it's telling Solr, you know, how many results to return from the query that you're sending off. So say you do a search for shoes. You get 1,000 results back. It's probably too many to display on your page. So, you know, you could say max rows equals 50, and then you're only going to get back, you know, the first 50 results from Solr. And then you use pagination with Solr to get back, you know, successive pages. The other blue box at the bottom here, this config field parameter, this is used to actually tell Commerce and then Solr which fields to search on. So for this search profile, by the way, if you look for it in your wc-search.xml, you're not going to find it. I kind of Frankenstein this one together from a couple of different search profiles. I had to, you know, shorten the class name for some things and stuff like that. So this is more just for an example. But you can look in your wc-search.xml to look at various search profiles that we have. Anyways, this particular fake search profile is going to be searching in the default search and the short description fields when it sends off the final Solr query. So say you create a new field in Solr and you want to be able to search the new field from Commerce, all you need to do is create a new search profile and then, you know, can base it off of another search profile that seems to have everything that you're looking for in your search profile, and then just add a new config field with the name of the new field that you've created in the index. So that's the blue boxes. Aside from that, everything else that we add to the final Solr query is added via these the stuff in the orange boxes, and they're all expression providers. Let's look at an expression provider for an example. So an easy one, like the easiest one here, is probably the Solr search by published entry only expression provider. What this is doing is it's going to add to the final Solr query exactly this, and FQ equals published colon one. That's all it's doing. So each of these expression providers is adding their own particular piece to the final Solr query. So when you're constructing your own search profile, it's pretty easy to, you know, put together based off all the expression providers we have exactly what you want your search to look like. So this search by published entry only expression provider, this makes sure that, you know, we're filtering out any unpublished products from the results that we're getting back from Solr. Say you have a staging environment where you want to be able to see published and unpublished products. All you need to do to do that is create a new search profile, you know, model it, add all the expression providers that you need, and make sure to keep out Solr search by published entry only expression provider. That will get rid of that filter, and then suddenly you're going to be getting back published and unpublished products from the Solr result. So it's pretty easy the way that we have these exposed to just, you know, like put together your own specific Solr query. Slide 23. So let's look at a couple other expression providers real quick. The one that I mentioned, the published entry only expression provider, that one's really simple in that it doesn't even read in any parameters or anything like that to add its Solr query. Other ones that I have here, like Solr search by category expression provider, or Solr search type expression provider, these expression providers, they use the parameters that, if you remember at the beginning of the presentation where we were talking about get data tag and the get data config.xml, if you looked at the get data config.xml, it had these types of parameters. It had wcf.search.category and wcf.search.type. So this is where we're actually finally taking those parameters, and it's these expression providers that are using them. So the Solr Search by Category expression provider, it will grab whatever's in the wcf.search.category parameter, and it's going to use it to construct its piece that it's going to add to the final Solr query. And what it does is it's actually going to grab that. It's going to convert it into Solr language that Solr will be able to understand, and then it's going to pass it back into an internal parameter. So I have a partial list here of internal parameters, like wcf.search.internal.filterQuery. So we looked at that one earlier. That was FQ. There's also wcf.search.internal.optional.query, which is Q, but it's making sure that the Q that you're adding is ORed instead of AND, so it's always going to be optional. And there's other ones. For a list of the expression providers and also these parameters, like the internal and the external parameters, you can look it up in the Info Center. If you just search in our Info Center for any of these parameters, you'll find the page that lists them and kind of gives an overview of what they do. And then the bottom of the slide here, I already kind of mentioned this. When you create your own search profiles, basically it's just a matter of, you know, picking out which expression providers you want to construct your final Solr query. So by looking in the Info Center, getting a kind of a description of what these expression providers do, it's easy enough to construct the final Solr query that you're looking for. There is the case where, you know, you're not going to get the expression provider. We don't have an expression provider for what you're looking for, so you might have to end up customizing and creating your own custom expression provider or something called a query preprocessor, which we're going to look at in a bit. So what I wanted to do is go over kind of what is going to be in a custom expression provider. There's always going to be the same set of things in every custom expression provider. So if you go to slide 24, so this is looking at an expression provider. And if you're ever creating a custom expression provider, you're almost definitely going to have, you know, at least these sort of things. So they will all extend from abstract Solr Search expression provider, and then there's always going to be an invoke method in your custom expression provider. And what that's doing is it's going to do this super invoke, and it's going to pass in selection criteria. The selection criteria are these parameters that I've been talking about the whole time, so like wcf.search.category, all that stuff. It's going to be retrieving all of these parameters via the super invoke. Once you get all these parameters, you can then, you know, retrieve the individual parameters by using, at the bottom of the slide here, get control parameter value. I think there's also a get control parameter values, plural, if you know, the parameter that you're looking for, you know, if you've passed in multiple values. For example, in feature pack 5, you can pass in wcf.search.facet multiple times, and then you would need to get control parameter values to get the multiple values, but it's pretty much the same. So here at the bottom of the slide, you can see we do get control parameter value, and then in the screenshot, I have search service constants and then the parameter. That's the same thing as passing in like wcf.search.term. So either way, you just have to pass in, you know, these parameters with get control parameter value, and you're going to get the value back. Slide 25. So once you retrieve the values from the get data tag from the, you know, from the search web service, it's just a matter of doing your processing, mapping the parameters that you retrieved to some kind of, you know, Solr language, and then adding the control parameter back in. So in the screenshot here, I have add control parameter value. That's the function that you're going to be using. And then we're passing into the control parameter value into control param search internal optional query, which, again, you can just put wcf.search.internal.optional query. So for your customer expression provider, you can pass in, or you can, you know, pass your Solr query stuff back into internal parameters the same way we do, or you can actually even pass back into, you know, the external ones as well. You might want to do that, for example, say you want to add some additional search terms or something like that into the WCF.search.term for then another expression provider to then later on, you know, do additional processing before it adds it to the final Solr query. So you can do that. If you are doing something like that, make sure the order of which you set up the expression providers in your search profile, make sure that, you know, your custom expression provider comes before that expression provider. So it does it, you know, in order of which you've listed the expression providers in the search profile. So that's something to watch out for. Slide 26. Okay. So lastly, we're going to look at an example here. I mentioned query preprocessors. They're very similar to expression providers, the difference being query preprocessors, instead of adding back into commerce parameters, like the wcf.search.internal.optionalquery, it's going to be adding directly into the Solr response object or Solr request object. So this is an example of why you might want to create a custom query preprocessor as opposed to a custom expression provider. So if you are using DISMAX, you know, if you've created the customization or if you've added the customization to your store that we did at the beginning of the presentation, where you're injecting a DISMAX query, if there are zero search results returned, you might see some strange suggested terms. And this is because the way that we do spell check out of the box is we spell check everything that's in the queue parameter. So in the first customization, you're injecting DISMAX into the queue parameter. You're injecting that DISMAX function and then some, you know, additional things. You're injecting the fields that you're searching on and stuff like that. So what spell check is doing is it's actually it's doing spell check against DISMAX, and it's doing spell check against all the fields that you added in your custom DISMAX function. So what you can do to prevent that is you can specify to spell check exactly what terms you want to spell check, and you can do that using the spellcheck.queue parameter. The problem with this is that our current expression providers and our current internal parameters that map to the final Solr query expression, none of them add to the spellcheck.queue parameter. Like earlier I mentioned wcf.search.internal.filterquery. Whatever you add into there, it's always going to map into the FQ section. We don't have, currently at least, an internal parameter to map to spellcheck.queue. So what you need to do here is... instead of creating a custom expression provider, you create a custom query preprocessor to add directly, you know, spellcheck.queue directly into the Solr object, request object. One thing to note before we go to the next slide is make sure if you are creating a custom query preprocessor, you have to put this one after all the expression providers in your search profile and after all the config field parameters. Yeah, it has to be at the very end of the query section. In your search profile, and that's because you need this one to exist after, you know, the actual Solr query request object has been created. So it needs to go at the very end. Slide 27. So again, this example is in the search cookbook. I've cut out bits and pieces of the example here that I just want to cover to give you guys an idea of how this is working. So query preprocessor is always going to extend from abstract Solr search query preprocessor, so first slide, and then it's going to have an invoke just like the other one. This invoke, it's going to have selection criteria, which was the same as the previous one, and it's also going to have a query request object. It's this query request object that's, you know, the Solr request object. So it's going to populate both of these. I don't have the super.invoke here, but that's going to be the same. Once you super invoke and you retrieve the parameters, you can retrieve individual parameters the exact same way as in the expression provider. So, for example, you can see again the get control parameter value is retrieving wcf.search.term. But then in the blue box here, I also have we're retrieving a parameter directly from the Solr query. So from that, we're doing iquery.getparams, and then it's retrieving the spell check field. And then lastly, the last screenshot here is adding parameters back into the Solr query object. So here you can see iSolrQuery.setParam, and then we're adding right into the spellcheck.q field the search term. So we're telling Solr, you know, only search for or only spellcheck the search term field, as opposed to, you know, dismax and anything else that you might have put into the q parameter. So that's the example for creating a custom query preprocessor. That's pretty much it. And like I said, this is in the cookbook, so you can take a look if you do want to add this. So slide 28, we're done. Today we covered basically pretty much, you know, all the different, the main areas of customization for search. So we looked at the storefront. Like I said, that's probably the easiest way to inject parameters into a final Solr query. Then we looked at preprocess and build index, where that's more changing the data that's actually in the index. And last, we looked at search profiles, how to construct your own search profile, you know, how to mix and match expression providers. And then we looked at differences, I guess, between expression provider and query preprocessor. And again, last thing I want to mention is the cookbook. So there's the link to the main cookbook. We're going to be updating this regularly as we get PMRs where there's a customization that we think is either useful or we see a lot of customers requesting it. We're going to be adding it to the cookbook. So it's probably a good idea to bookmark the page and just check back regularly to see, you know, if there's something that you want to add to your store. Slide 29. Okay, I'm going to pass it back to Valerie. She's going to take you guys through a quick survey, and then we're going to do a question and answer session. So, Valerie?
Thank you, Brendan and Matt, for a great presentation. That concludes the presentation portion of today's session. Finally, remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Once you get the mailing list, you can subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. I am moving to the question and answer session now. And I see that we have had a few questions already in the group chat, and Brendan has been addressing those questions.
Right. I'm not sure if I was responding to them in the Q&A group, though, which I think might be wrong. So let me just repaste my answers. In the all section. So, or actually, we can just go over them, and I can answer it out loud if you want. So, first question was from Yan. She wanted to know why the default search isn't dismax, why we're using a different search handler. We've changed that in Feature Pack 6. We started using dismax because we were getting feedback from our customers that they preferred it. So the customization I had in the first section, that was for Feature Pack 5 and lower. If you're on Feature Pack 6, there's no need to do that. Second question was from Michaels, and he wanted to know if you can configure to switch Solr response from XML to JSON result format using parameter mapping in the URL request. I don't think so. At least I can't remember a parameter that does that. You might have to add that parameter to Solr. If it's Solr that's returning instead of like XML, if it's returning JSON directly from Solr, you might have to do that through a query preprocessor. Although I'm not sure if Commerce would be able to handle the JSON. It's expecting back an XML result. I guess it depends how it maps that back. You might want to test that out before you actually go with that.
And And we have a new entry at the bottom. We use customer, custom EXPR in our project, but the special characters will throw errors. For example, double quotes. How to eliminate this error?
We get special character PMRs occasionally. I think it's going to depend on where these special characters are throwing the error. I'm guessing if it's throwing it solar side, it might be that we have a special character mapper in Commerce before we send queries over to solar, and these special characters might have to be like URL encoded in order for them to be received properly. It really depends on where you're getting the error from. So if you do want to use this and you're finding a problem with special characters, I'd recommend opening a PMR, and we can take a look at, you know, where exactly that error is being thrown, if it's in Commerce or if it's in Solar, and then we'd have to go from there.
It's not looking like we're seeing any questions on the phone line, but we do have another question in the chat. Whenever a new item product is added, we need to run preprocessor build to have it indexed. Is there a way to automate it?
Yes. It depends what feature pack you're on. I think starting around maybe even feature pack 3, at least definitely feature pack 4, we add a scheduled job where you can run to have, or you can configure it to make preprocess build index, run regularly, so you can set it up to run, you know, once a day or every 10 minutes, whatever you want. You can also make the scheduled job only do Delta preprocess and Delta build index, or you can even tell it to do full build, full preprocess, full build index. So is there an info center link for scheduling? Yes, I can look that up. Let me find that for you. Okay, so I'm going to be pasting a link for both of our scheduled jobs. The job you're looking for is the update search index job.
Are there any more questions? I still do not see any questions on the phone, and there are no additional questions in the chat. Thank you for those that did ask questions, and we will conclude this webcast. We hope that the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will be available on this site. Thank you. This concludes the webcast. You may disconnect now.